Welcome.
And welcome to the Klaus and Q Show, live here on ONTV, along with Claudel Edwards. Who will be joining us here in a moment. I'm Jason Klaus. We certainly appreciate you tuning in here tonight, and we're actually going to be expanding on what has become something of a mini-series across multiple shows here on the PFC Entertainment Network, and we're excited to be able to bring part of that here to ONTV tonight, and we have a very special guest. But before we bring her on, Q, brother, we're going to be spending a lot of time here in the fine town of Lake Orion, Michigan, moving forward. We'll get to that later on in the program, but how are you, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm great, man. I feel pretty good, man. I'm glad to be here one more time, ready to talk to you guys about an interesting topic, and we're going to have some fun today.
We are, because as you can see joining us, if you pay attention to the podcast here on the PFC Entertainment Network, you hear her every Monday with Say What. Please welcome to the show Kristen Watt, and you're making your ONTV debut here tonight. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I was looking for the glam squad. I didn't find it. It's okay, though. Happy to be in Lake Orion.
Yes, this is going to be a very cool situation. We're going to tackle a very cool topic, and it's why you're here tonight. You are already the epitome of it, but I wanted to get a different perspective, because what we're talking about here is what if. Now, if you've listened to a couple of the podcasts this week and late last week, you know that this has been a reoccurring thing with me, because I have maintained that some of the greatest success stories that we hear about, that we read about, oftentimes start with, what if? What if I tried this? What if I tried that? And oftentimes when we throw caution to the wind and we roll the dice on ourselves, based on that very short two-word question, we embark on ultimately what becomes among our greatest, you know, pieces of our story, right, Q? Now, you are very much the epitome of this. This is what brought you and me, like brought our radar, you know, brought our paths to what ultimately would become the Klaus and Q Show, because you are very much that inspirational type of guy. You're motivated. You are doing a lot of cool things with your life. You've overcome a lot of you've overcome a lot of adversity to get to this version of you now. It started with what if, right? At some regards.
Oh, yeah.
Would you
absolutely
agree with that?
Absolutely. Like, when you brought this topic to me, I started having flashbacks. I mean, I was looking back at times where I was saying to myself, okay, what if I didn't make this decision to come back to Michigan? Because I didn't live here for a while, a long time. And that almost didn't happen. So that was a big what if for me. So many things wouldn't have happened if I would have never came back to Michigan and made that decision. And then after that, there was different decisions that had to be made once I got back to Michigan. And I'm like, man, this is the perfect topic. Can we fit all this into an hour?
No, we can't, which is why this has become kind of like a mini-series of sorts. It started over on the flagship show on the podcast, and Pope Brandon Brownson and I kind of touched on it on our show. And, you know, a lot of times when we're recording content and episodes for Kristen's show, this is often one of those things, and even though it's not highlighted or spotlighted, this is what we're talking about. I can go back and listen to our recordings, and it's like, this started with what if. Now, with Kristen, to kind of give her a little bit of her backstory, a lot of the most significant parts of her life started with what if. She is a native of Houston, Texas, and like packed everything up and moved to Holly, Michigan. I mean, if that doesn't start with what if we tried this, like nothing ever will. But once you got to Holly, you really got hip deep involved in your community, and have put yourself out there in a number of variety of ways, and you can kind of touch on that. But like I just asked Q, how many of those things started with, what if we tried this?
All of it. every bit of it. It was wild. So I do. I guess I should probably clarify. We didn't. We weren't sitting in Houston one day and said, "Let's move to Holly, Michigan." That's not really how that panned out. But there was a huge what if about moving. You know, I'd never lived anywhere else. And my husband is from here, so that's how we ended up in Michigan. But it's still like, what if we just move somewhere to a house I've never seen in a place I've never been, and just start it over? And that's exactly what we did. And it has not been without its trials and tribulations. But when we ended up in Holly, which was really by accident, but when we got there, I fell in love with the community. And I know this is shocking to you. These folks don't know me.
Right.
I can't sit still. I don't sit still, and I'm never quiet. So, but I'm a doer. I have to be doing something. And when you move to a small town like that, from a city of 6 million to 6,000, there's limited amounts of things to do, but you also kind of have that small town mentality where everybody, it really is like a Mayberry, like people will bring you eggs, or, oh, you need something, we'll get you blankets. Like, it's really a tight, tight-knit small town, which has its pros and cons. So not without its own adversity. But that being said, I just said, well, everyone's so nice here, I will start doing stuff. So I really just started doing stuff to help promote small business, because that's something, those mom and pop shops, they're suffering now, they're dwindling, being eaten up by, you know, big box stores. So that's something that I'm very passionate about. But then it turned into a what if. Really, it was back when George Floyd was killed, and that was on the cusp of COVID and having to stay home and all this kind of stuff. And I kind of brought community advocacy work and the activism work that I was doing in the broader part of Metro Detroit, and just said, well, what if we just do it here in 6,000 people, historic Holly? And and that just snowballed into, we thought nobody would show up, 400 people showed up. That turned into a whole other slew of things. And so now I am on the library board, and I work with everything from food pantries. I mean, I don't lead them, but I help with those. I help with just all kinds of stuff, getting people elected. And not so much in the, I'm not trying to make the show political, but it's really about, if you live in your town, you pay taxes in your town, you shop and serve in your community. There's many ways to be a servant in your community. And I think that's the important part, is quit griping, start doing, or less talking, more doing, and serve your community. So we went and found really great people to get out of their comfort zones and also say, what if, like, oh my gosh, I was just at home baking cookies. What do you mean, what if I ran for something?
Right.
And now they're on our council, and, you know, stuff like that. So we do a lot of stuff with the veterans, and, like, just you name it, I know everybody. I got a hand. I'm not in charge of everything, but I have, I don't know what the right word is there, like, connective tissue to everyone. And anyway, it's a great community, and I'm proud of the work that I've been able to be a part of, and some of it I've spearheaded, some of it I've just been a part of.
The one of the cool things, and to peel the curtain back a little bit, the station manager here, Mr. Johnson, and I had a very good conversation before we came on the air. We were because this guy travels, you know, he's been to California, which I had told him about your trip to out west, you know, very recently. But we started talking about the whole travel thing, and he has seen amazing things. He's done amazing things. I know your story just because of, you know, we worked together on your podcast. Q, you and I have done this show for well over a year at this point. Yeah. But, you know, we're all friends, outside of these walls. And I've always admired the fact that, and I mean, the whole what if thing, there's just so many things that we can splinter this into, but for this part of it right now, there's in my view, there is a level of courage that goes into traveling, and not just traveling, but doing what you guys did in your respective ways. You moved from one part that you were, that you've known, this is where you grew up, this is what you know, you packed everything up and moved to a different part of the country. Now, Q, with you, and you kind of have told your story way in the very beginning of this show, and well, at the last, at the end of the Klaus to the Heart show, that that laid the groundwork for this, right? But how much courage for you does it take for you to just, I'm not going to do this here anymore. Everything that I know, I'm leaving behind. You're busting out of your comfort zone. Was there a level of desperation that came in with this? Or was it you just needed to get the hell out of here because nothing around here is working? Because that's what prompted the conversation with me and Joe. Is I was like, look, man, I've been offered opportunity to relocate, and I'm actually thinking about doing it just because of all the crap that is nonstop. And then you stop and think, geez, could I really do it? And I'm like, well, what if? You know. Right, so how much courage for you did it take to just relocate out so far out of your comfort zone?
Man, it took a lot of courage in the world because, you know, I was actually grew up here in Michigan. And, you know, there were some things going on in my life that, you know, wasn't really favoring me. And, you know, I felt like I needed a change. So what I did is I took everything that I had. You know, I didn't have much. I took everything that I had and I moved down to Kansas. Lived in Kansas for, you know, many years. And then, you know what, it was like, whatever that issue was, I took that issue with me. So the problem was still there. So I was like, well, I still need a change. So what, now what? So I packed my bags up, came back to Michigan. And then I said, I really need to work on myself, you know, because a lot of times we neglect ourselves and we think it's just the stuff around us. But really, did you change what's going on inside of you? You know, so that was some issues that I was dealing with. You know, I dealt with addictions and everything. And for the longest time, you know, on the inside, I knew there was something that was connecting me to the path of health. Health, like for years. And I just didn't know exactly how to really spearhead that thought that was like, you know, deep down inside. So once I got back here and I kind of like started clearing my head. I met my wife, you know, we got married, and then, you know, I started working for the Big Three, and then, you know, I end up meeting people, and then we start connecting, and things start falling into place, and really, it started with just having that courage to actually move, you know, and really do something that required for me to change, you know, and you know what, and it was a big thing. It was a big risk. It was a risk, and that's what I believe that a lot of people are lacking now. They're scared, they're afraid of the risk. What if, you know, what if it works, what if it don't, you know? And you would never know until you do it.
Right.
You would never know until you do it. So, like, once I moved back to Michigan and got everything together, I mean, it was the greatest decision. The greatest decision, you know, now I got my certification for fitness and nutrition, and I can help people, and that's really what my passion was to help people, you know, not only get myself healthy, but also to help my community. I see my family around me. I see all of my friends around me that's suffering and going through all of these addictions and everything. How can I help? How can I help? So I had to change something that was in me first. So once I did that, you know, things started lining up. But what if I didn't? I always had that thought. So that's why I'm glad you brought this up to me, because, you know, I always had that thought, like, what if I stayed in Kansas? Would things change? You know, what if I never went down to Kansas? You know, because I was still dealing with the issues before I went down to Kansas. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's all kind of different questions, you know. If I wouldn't have came back up here, I would have never met my wife. If I would have never came back up here, we wouldn't be sitting here together right now today. Right. There's so many things that lined up from that one decision. Mm-hmm. One decision to say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And that's why I always encourage people that you have to have the courage to actually make that decision. It's not going to be with the absence of fear, because the fear is still going to be there. That's why you need courage. Because
the fear helps drive you.
It helps drive you.
In some ways.
It helps drive you through that fear. And once you get past that, then you're going to be like, you know what? I'm glad I tackled that. And a lot of people are afraid to tackle things because of fear.
Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. In some regards, there is a fear of success, too.
Yeah.
People are afraid to rise up the ladder because they're worried about what, in their mind, for whatever reason, is the inevitable fall. Well, if you are going into that with that mindset, you're already putting yourself behind the eight ball.
Right, right.
Now, the thing, and this is one of the reasons why I want Kristen on the show here tonight is, you know, we look at a lot of the corporations in the world today, and they may be bringing in billions of dollars, have hundreds of thousands of employees and things of that nature, but
Absolutely.
It started generally, more often than not exclusively, and I realize that, but it started with one or two or a handful of guys that had a dream, that had a vision.
Or women.
Or women, of course.
Yep.
Individuals.
That's why I'm here.
Individuals.
Representation.
Yeah.
You know, that started with, what if we did this? And like, they have become very well known, very popular, very famous, whatever the case may be. But some of the most significant impacts that are being felt right now is oftentimes being overshadowed by, you and I have talked about it at great length, you and I have talked about it, this overwhelming blanket of negativity all over our society right now. Now, one of the things that I have always admired most about Kristen is, and this was what brought her on my radar, she was organizing a pride event in Holly. And had, she knows Sean Grugel, because Sean's from Holly, she's from Holly, so it was inevitable that their paths were going to cross.
Shout out to Sean.
I love you, Sean.
Yep, he's tuning in, he's watching. As is the Brian, or the Stan Lee of the operation.
Stan Lee,
Brian Bolf is joining us.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, by the way.
Yeah.
You did something, not for any other reason but to make a significant impact on your community for the right reasons. You saw I don't know if you want to call it a need, but you saw an opportunity where your experiences, your feelings, what makes you was being rechanneled into creating this event. Mm-hmm. And this was the second or third one that you had done before I knew you. And I remember on that day, we were setting up, Sean and I were sitting there talking, and I was just sitting there watching. We were in between breaks, we weren't recording, I was just kind of standing back and watching. And I could hear Kristen before I could see her, because, you know, she's got one of those very unmistakable voices. But I watched her just kind of navigate through this group, that group, talking to this person, answering this question. And I remember thinking, man, without any pomp or circumstances, and I know she'll be the first one to tell you, there was a lot of people that helped her on that day pull this thing
Always.
Off. A lot of volunteers, a lot of hands to help put everything together. But make absolute no mistake about it, I mean, a lot of that fell on her shoulders. And it's people like you that, and I know you're not, you are an us, not me type of person.
Yep.
But at the same time, you and people like you need to be spotlighted for the good that you do. Not for any other reason, but to actually legitimately help people in your community, in your neighborhood. And this is why this is so important, in my view, why this is on my radar, because if we're not good in our neighborhoods and our communities, how in the hell are we supposed to change the world? Right. So you got to start at home base, take care of home base, and then expand. How much of that started with the whole what if thing?
All of it. Like I said, all of it. I feel like my whole life has been one big what if, you know, but that particular event, and I had not known you but like 10 seconds right. before this happened. This was our third year. It was okay. last year. It really snowballed into a sense of, you know, you and I specifically, for various reasons, and you can speak to this in your own families and in your life, but we all, in our own way, depending on where you live, what country you're from, what your community looks like, what languages are spoken in your community, or wherever you're from, we all have, in our own way, a privilege. I happen to have one. And when you see people around you, in your workplace, in your family, in your community, who don't have that same privilege that is inherent and born with, I do feel like it is our job in our respective, whatever way that is for you, to utilize it. And I know that you are, oh, I may get you some haters in Lake Orion if I say this. I know you are not a huge, like, you are, okay, you're not a Swiftie. Okay?
I am not a Swiftie.
But do you know what, though? This, I only very quickly do an aside to that, is that when people like her, you and I have done I did a whole episode on Jelly Roll because I love him. And my point is people who have the cards stacked against them, they have, they're not taken seriously. They've been through trials and tribulations, addiction, prison, whatever. If you saw that person on the side of the road or in line at the Burger King, you would have a bias, whether it's conscious or subconscious. You assume and make stories and assumptions about what that person may or may not be like, or and we deal with that all through life.
Right.
But when they say what if, and then they become big, and now, whether you like her music or not, she's impacting millions and millions of not only young women, but their parents. And you know, shifting the narrative and the mindset and the attitude and opening up people's eyes and minds and hearts. And that's really all I did in my community, was I saw this thing didn't exist. And we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that live in my community that did not have a place to be represented or celebrated. I was just a vessel of creating an event. That event was not for me. That was just, I had a privilege and a connection through my community work to be able to do something that had not been done before. And eventually, I won't be the one doing that. You pass the torch and you hope. That's the thing about what ifs and good leaders, though. If you have an idea that's really good, or even if it's 50-50, and you put it out there and it hits and it goes and it snowballs, your job is to now train up the people that you are working with to carry on that legacy. Yep. So it's not about self, it's about the work. And so while I do many other things and have many other hats, including new fake podcast host, until I make it. And that was a what if.
Yeah.
Like everything is that. So, but that was a special event, and I am glad that you got to be there. You got to meet some of the young people who this deeply, it just takes one hug, one word of encouragement, one person to believe in you that is sometimes the seed for shifting the trajectory or the path of your own life. And we all could think about that in our own lives. There's usually one or two, maybe a handful of people who just helped you when no one else would, or just believed in you when no one else would, or said you can do that when you didn't believe in yourself. And that was the thing, the turning point. It was the seed, and you and other people watered it. And then maybe you're the one that's shining and growing. But that's why I say I'm a not me us person. Like, there's so many people around, hundreds and hundreds of people that have helped shape our community. Right. I'm one of many.
Right. Now, more individually, Q, and I feel like this is where you're going to have a unique perspective on this, because we've touched on this. you know, when we look at ourselves, a lot of our greatest achievements and accomplishments and successes are things nobody else knows about because they are overcoming personal obstacles, challenges, mm-hmm. things like addiction, things like abuse, things like trauma, things that have shaped and molded our internal makeup right. to a point to where we kind of find ourselves at some point or another, we're at the proverbial fork in the road, right? So do I continue down this road that is by and large easier with less resistance, but I know in my mind it is going to be worse because this leads me right to more addictions and the deeper depths of despair? Mm-hmm. Or do I go the uncomfortable route, the hard route, because I know that the light at the end of this tunnel is where I really need to be, but then you are it's an internal struggle in some regards. For you, you have admitted that you overcame addiction. Were you at this fork in the road? And at what point, what was the deciding factor of which, what if, was the key that helped you make your decision?
Well, I know for me, I realized that it's not just about me, you know, and I realized that people are watching me, and I realized that people are following me, and you know, and my success will always be connected to someone else's success. So it's like, you know, if I make it, then I can help somebody else make it, and that's where, you know, I get to that spot, that right there in that road where I can make that left or I can make that right. And I got to really think like, okay, now I'm affecting people, even if I'm going the wrong way or if I'm going the right way, I'm affecting people. And I always think about people. And even, you know, as I have a vision and I have these dreams and everything, it's not a dream if no one else is involved, if no one else is impacted. You know, if it's just about me, then that's not the dream. That's not the dream. It's, you know, I can dream about having that car that I want or that house that I want, but if nobody else is impacted, then what's the point? You know, so.
If you don't call it a dream, then what is it?
It's just wishing upon a star.
Okay.
Wishing upon a star, you know, but for me, I know a dream for me is me being able to be the success that I need to be for someone else to be a success they need to be. And that's where, when I get to that point, I got to that point and I said, you know what, I have to make it because I'm gonna have kids. I'm gonna have kids that's gonna follow me. I got people that's not even related to me that I don't know that's watching me. Mm-hmm. And I always think about how do I impact those people? I gotta make it. I gotta make it before I can help people make it. And I always say, when you get to a certain point, you got to reach down and reach for someone else. Always, because as you are reaching, as other people are pulling you up, you better reach down and you better pull somebody else up too. And they got to be willing to come up. And that's where you can really encourage them. You can make it because they're going to be at a fork in the road too. You know, and everyone has to make some type of decision. I always say, decisions shape your life. You are shaped by your decisions. I say we grow up, when we're born, we look like our parents. When we die, we look like our choices. Mm. We look like our choices. Whatever choice you made, that becomes you. It's deep. It becomes you. So I have to make it. I have to make that right choice. And you know what? Being uncomfortable is one of the greatest blessings. Being uncomfortable. Yeah. That means you're not slacking. You're not slacking because going that comfortable route, then you, where are you going? When you're comfortable, you're in bed, right?
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. You know, I always tell people, if you're worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair and you're rocking, you're moving, but you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. So you really need to have that mindset. And we always talk about the mindset.
Right.
You have to have that mindset that I am going to make it because other people are connected to your success.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
I want to make sure I'm being respectful of y'all's show. I'm so used to hosting my own show and saying what I want.
We will be quiet.
No, I just, I want to say, I've literally met you less than an hour ago, and of everything you have currently shared, I just wanted to, two things that, like, hit me. We talked just in the last couple of weeks on my podcast about there's a difference between respect and glory.
Yeah.
If you're doing the work for the sake of the work, and you earn the respect of others. If you're doing it for power, it's for glory, and they're different. As you were talking, I was thinking there's a difference between success and legacy. And success is, what's the word?
Perspective.
No, I always miss a word. Subjective, sorry. What looks like success to one person is not always what, you know, for me, I think I just said this last week, some people is getting out of bed, brushing their teeth, and getting through the day. That is a success. You don't know that person's story.
Right.
For some people, they got to own 7 companies and, you know, have stocks and hedge funds and all that kind of stuff. But I think if you come back to the original question you asked him about moving, like the courage it takes to do that, what I have learned this last year, because I wasn't in the same situation you were, but I'm kind of in a weird situation now. You know, I went to California and I'm like, I kind of want to move to the desert. And people are like, you're crazy. I'm like, I've done it before. I've just moved, you know.
Right.
But what I've learned is this last year, going through my own process, is making space, cleaning house. So many people are so concerned with, okay, I got to do this and I got to make sure the 401k is right and I got to get to I want the boat and I got to have the cabin, you know, because that's what we, and at the end of the day, it's all just things, and they are wonderful things that create success and memories and, you know, and whatever. But if you create and get rid of the stuff that's really just what society tells you you are supposed to have to be deemed successful, and you start stripping away all that, and all of a sudden you have all this free time again, and you're like, you can dream again. There's nothing wrong. In fact, I think we've lost our dream. We're told what our dream is supposed to be. We're told what the route you're supposed to take is to do the cookie cutter life, and that just doesn't cut it for a lot of people.
Right.
And my last point to something you said was that it's, I don't even remember exactly what it was, but that we are not, we're biologically created to be hunters and gatherers and be under stress to survive. Mm-hmm. Like that is in our DNA. But I think we have this fake idea of like, we're supposed to not be stressed. We're supposed to just have everything taken care of. And then, and only then, will we relax into this euphoric world, and that's just not the story for most people. You know what I mean? And you're carrying all that, your stuff with you to get there. And I think that if I don't have stress for a dream, you know me, I'll manufacture it. Like, I have to create a situation where I'm like under the gun. Like, and when I do that, I do my best work. And so I don't think that's the healthy way, the way you're doing it, like healthy, but it's, but I think there's something inside of us that's driven to, you're compelled when you have timelines and people are counting on you. And I don't know, it's just, it seems like it's our natural state of being. It's just we've replaced gathering food and building a home with, we have to have millions of dollars in the bank and we have to, you know what I mean? Like we've traded from caveman times to now, but it's, I don't know, it's just, I think the solution, and even when you went to Kansas and come back, it's like, sometimes you got to go away and get away, like create that space, get all that stuff out to get perspective, to kind of like find the gusto to come back and have either a new dream or a better dream. You know what I mean? And get all the noise out of there.
Refresh.
The one thing that you said that I hadn't even really thought about that put it into a completely different perspective and mindset is, a lot of times when people talk about their dreams or their goals, it's individualized. It's how it affects us and us alone.
Mm-hmm.
I am very guilty of this, because anytime I have said, my goal is for this network to be here, or my goal is for this, and it's not just my goal or my dream, because what that is ultimately going to affect you guys, you know, under this umbrella. And as I sat here and listened to you talk, and I'm like, wow, some of my goals are things that do and will affect, like, my kids. And I had never thought about it in that regard when you talk about dreams and goals. Like, obviously,
it's legacy.
It is.
Yeah. It's what you're leaving behind. Yeah. Not always when you die, but when you leave a room, when you leave a restaurant, when you leave your work, when you leave anyone you've touched, you part of what you leave behind of yourself, hopefully you've left someone better than you found them. And it could just be through a hello. You don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe people don't even talk to that person. You know what I mean? And that's your legacy. That is your legacy, how you leave every space and person you find. And that includes your business dreams and your personal goals and everything else.
Still one of those things that gets overlooked in this day and age, right, Q? Like, this is one of those basic fundamentals of life, and why are we not focusing on this? And if we did focus more on what she's bringing to the table, things would probably be a lot lighter in the long run, right?
It's not good for the economy.
I mean, you're right.
Let's just be real.
You're right. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We have put more emphasis on materialistic and the capitalistic aspects of life that we are shooting for the stars so much.
You need those pants and in all seven colors, one of them. You can't be happy without all seven colors. Like, it's just that, but it's that mentality.
Right.
And that mentality bleeds into everything. It's not just supply and demand, but I won't take over your show, but I do want to say this just based on what you're saying. I happened to be watching a documentary this last week, which is not unusual. And it was, I'm a World War II like history buff. And as I was watching this documentary and it was breaking down, I was literally watching the parallels and this, like, the synchronicities of it. Just when you talk about everything's negative, it wasn't hunky-dory back then either. Like, we just always feel like it's worse today than it was 10 years ago, but it's almost like rose-colored glasses so we can cope and function and keep going.
Right,
but
yeah.
The truth is, it was awful during that time. It was horrible, actually. And in the 60s and the 70s, every era, you know, has their thing. And I just think now we just happen to have social media. But hey, be happy you have it, because now you have podcasts. So, you know what I mean? But I think it just repeats itself, because that is our human, the dark side of our human nature is that we are selfish. You know what I mean? And we are. And that leads us to a lot of stuff. So I think it's just acknowledging it and then making a conscious effort every day to try. You can't change the world, but you can change the person next to you in the line, or you can, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then it ripples.
You know, we could sit here for hours on end and talk about the different aspects of what if and how it has been applied to your life. And I mean, now, in the past, and moving forward, because, you know, both of you know as well as anybody, like, life does not stop. And when you get past this part, there's going to be something else on the horizon. And this is why what started out as what was going to be a one-off, because I needed content, I needed an episode for the flagship show, has spawned into a legitimate kind of mini-series that's going across the board here on our entertainment network, because it does literally affect everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just, how do you acknowledge it? So with that, Kristen, I want to thank you so much.
Oh, thank you guys for having me
and being on the show here tonight. And the invitation's always open.
So awesome. And Yates Donuts is down the street. I'm telling you, what if I hadn't come here today? I wouldn't have the donuts.
For real.
Happy. Thank you guys for having me, though. And nice
Absolutely.
To meet you, Q.
Yes. So you can hear Kristen every Monday here on the PFC Entertainment Network with Say What. Right now, we are going to run a quick timeout, and we will be back with more of the Klaus and Q Show live on ONTV right after this.
Nine. Eight. Are you or someone you know having thoughts of suicide or experiencing a mental health or substance abuse crisis? 988 connects you to compassionate, confidential support for free.
988
is the new three-digit dialing code for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. For years, the Lifeline, formerly known as the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, has answered tens of millions of calls and helped people overcome mental health-related distress. 988 is the same trusted resource. When you call, text, or chat 988, you'll be quickly connected to trained crisis counselors who will listen to your concerns, provide support, and get you additional help if needed. There is hope. The Lifeline works. You are not alone in crisis. Just call, text, or chat 988.
988!
Knowing how to identify signs of crisis in others and help connect them to resources like the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is an important way to prevent suicide in Lake Orion. For information about free suicide prevention trainings offered in our community, please visit the North Oakland Community Coalition at nocccmi.org.
And welcome back to the Klaus and Q Show live here on ONTV along with Quadell Edwards. I'm Jason Klaus. We certainly appreciate you tuning in and hanging out with us on this Friday night. And one more time, we want to thank Kristen Watt, host of Say What podcast, for joining us here on this episode. But we are going to switch gears as we do here on the show for the second segment. But before we do that, a quick programming note here, Q. The next time you see our faces, we will be joined by Sean Grugel and Brian Bolf with the debut of Fatal 4-Way. It will happen Friday night, March the 8th, beginning at 6 p.m., exclusively right here where you see the Klaus and Q Show. Your fans are going to be able to call in live as the show happens to be a part of the conversation. And I feel like as we embark on this road to WrestleMania, especially, I mean, there's just so much happening that we're going to have shortage of topics when we debut Fatal 4-Way on March the 8th. But before we get to WrestleMania, tomorrow morning, as it were, for us, the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view is finally going to happen from Perth, Australia. And for those who are not aware, this show is starting live at 5 a.m. over on Peacock. And a lot of people didn't know that. They figured it was just going to be the traditional 8 p.m. start time. But, I mean, this thing is from down under, man. And this is really shaping up. Like, we know as wrestling fans, anytime they have a big international event, there's a lot of anticipation among the natives. But for Australia, for this event, this thing is getting WrestleMania-like buzz at this point. Now, you look at this card, Q, and obviously it comes down to the two chamber matches because a lot of stakes are riding on this. What are your predictions? For the men's, we have Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul. The winner will challenge Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania.
Woo, man, that's going to be a good one. First, thank you, John Cena, for joining us. All right.
I can't see him.
I got to go with Drew for this one. I don't know. This past few weeks or months, you know, the character arc with Drew McIntyre has, I don't know, it elevated Monday Night Raw to me so much. I mean, the sword swinging Drew is pretty much done. We got a Drew which is probably the best tweener we've seen in a long time. I'm a huge fan of Drew now than I was before. But, man, he's even – and it's crazy because we've seen the match between Drew and Seth before, I think twice already. Yeah. But Drew is the hottest guy in this match, second that he's the best choice since CM Punk went down to me. And I believe that, you know, we are going to see Drew. This is my prediction. Drew McIntyre winning the chamber match, but
dot dot dot
if you are paying attention to what's going on Monday Night Raw, you see Sami Zayn and what some of the interviews that he's doing, the empty arena interviews that he's doing. He keeps stating that he's a contender and he will fight and find a path to WrestleMania and fight for a championship. I know a lot of people are saying maybe he'll fight Gunther or something like that, but I can honestly see him finding a way into WrestleMania, making that a triple threat.
Do you think Sami Zayn is a strong enough character at this point? Because you're looking at six legit former champions or megastars in some cases. Sami Zayn has kind of fallen off the radar.
Big time.
You know, is he going to be? See, when you say that, I'm thinking, okay, if they go with Drew McIntyre, which is the logical choice based on the storyline, and it's to piggyback off what you were saying, to his credit, he could have got lost in the shuffle, but he has really stepped up his game with the opportunity that he has been given, and he is the odds-on favorite in this chamber match. But what if they went with it all comes together, folks. What if they strap the rocket to LA Knight, and instead of LA Knight and Logan Paul, like we had talked about last month for the United States title, what if they actually went with LA Knight and capitalized on his momentum? Then you would have a lot of different options for Logan Paul to defend the United States title against. But you look at guys like Orton, you look at guys like Lashley, Owens has already had his shot at the U.S. title. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of wide open. And the other the other wild card in this is Damian Priest, Senior Money in the Bank. You know, he, even though he's involved in the tag team championship match on this card, people keep forgetting that he is carrying around that briefcase, and it's just a matter of time. And I, even though the world titles are not on the line here at the Elimination Chamber, this guy is going to wind up making an impact when we least expect it. But at whose expense is it going to be? That's very interesting.
Now, I want to add something to that. I know we got to do this quickly because I want to add to, because this is a hot one right here, because I can honestly see Drew winning that. But we also have an issue, which I would say the elephant in the room, his contract has not yet been signed beyond WrestleMania. And I can see a world where Drew McIntyre wins that chamber match, beats Seth Rollins, and then Damian cashes in on Drew at WrestleMania.
And that would be his send-off.
That would be a send-off.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they're going to do all that with Drew McIntyre, I feel like if I'm an executive with TKO, I'm making that a priority to re-sign him at least for two more years. Right?
Yeah.
Now, switching gears here, the women's match, the women's chamber match, the winner again will receive a title shot at WrestleMania. You got Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, Raquel Rodriguez. Listen, I try not to. I really...
Oh, man.
Out of the six, Bianca Belair is my pick. Because out of the six, Bianca Belair is the one that has the most charisma, the most talent.
Yep.
She is legitimately the EST of WWE, especially going heading into this match. That's my take. I'm going with Bianca Belair. I don't like Tiffany Stratton, I know, was Sean's pick in this as kind of, really? Kind of like the wild card.
It's
Tiffy time, as he says. Raquel Rodriguez, I'm still waiting for her to bust out. Yep. She's not hot right now. I'm not seeing it. I can't stand Liv Morgan. Becky Lynch, very much in the, I guess if it's not Bianca, by default, I guess Naomi. So, what's your take on this?
Now, I'm with you with Bianca. I would love to see Bianca and Rhea have that match. They teased it.
Right.
I think it was last year. They just had a quick face-to-face. Big tease. Crowd went nuts. That's a big match that's going to happen at a WrestleMania. But the way they are teasing Becky Lynch. I mean, they are teasing it hard. Almost to where they are giving away the finish to me. I believe it's going to end up being Becky.
How much of the location is playing a role in this? And I ask that because I'm going to bring it back around to my next point. Obviously, Becky is internationally known, but they're in Australia. Yeah. And there is going to be a contingent of fans there that are going to flock because Becky is Irish, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, there's going to be that international flair to that. You know, aside, you look at the other five women in this match, I guess by default and by location, Becky Lynch is going to be the odds-on favorite, fan perspective-wise.
Yeah.
But if this happens in Philadelphia, if this happens in Denver, if this happens in Toronto, would Becky Lynch get the same kind of response that she's probably going to receive in Perth? My argument would be no, and here's why. I feel like the flame is starting to diminish a little bit for the man.
I see that, and I see that, you know, and I watched that press conference they had yesterday, and the fan reaction to Becky Lynch was pretty high, but it was also high for Bianca Belair.
Right.
And them going face-to-face had a nice reaction. So it can go either way. And so location, yeah, I see what you're saying, but I believe between them two is going to be between them two, Becky and Bianca. But the way they are teasing, and I go back to the WrestleMania press conference thing they had where they brought out Becky to go face-to-face with Rhea. I don't think they should have did that.
Right.
I don't think they should have did that because now they're teasing it so hard to now you have a group of fans who are begging for it now.
Right.
They want to see it because they keep teasing it. If they just leave that alone, because now they're just kind of like overshadowing the other five. And that's why that's one thing I did not like. They keep teasing the Becky thing. And you have Becky and the Nia dynamic. You know, Becky is intertwined with both of these women.
So you brought up Nia Jax, and which, you know, she is on this card. She is one of these. She's one of the most polarizing and controversial stars in WWE right now, just because she's going in there and legitimately, well, she's gotten better, but she has a reputation of going in there and legitimately hurting the other girls. I mean, she's a big girl unto herself, very strong, very powerful. I bring this up because you and I had a conversation earlier this morning, as a matter of fact. I have been kind of doing deep dives on the media that has been surrounding this particular event because it is being held in Perth, Australia. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is the city of Perth is on the opposite side of the country from where Sydney and Melbourne is. And they're kind of like in the middle of nowhere. But for this event, this is no longer just a B-rated throwaway pay-per-view event. This is a big damn deal. And one of the reasons why this is a big deal, aside from the media coverage, I'm going to talk about that here in 1 minute, but even though you got all this star power and the show is highlighted by two chamber matches, that's the name of the entire event, It all boils down to Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is the star that everybody that's going to be in that stadium is waiting for. If they don't at least think about, have a conversation, and I know Nia Jax is her opponent, and that kind of throws a wrench in the works, but if you do not consider putting this match on last, and I know it won't because we've got two chamber matches, but Q, I've listened to all these reports.
Yeah.
I've listened to the different podcasts. I've read the different websites, the media, like legit websites. I'm not following Meltzer or anything like this. Rhea Ripley is going into this thing. She's the star of this show,
yes,
without a shadow of a doubt. So with that being said, it's Rhea Ripley, it's Nia Jax. Should this be the main event, and who's winning?
It should be the main event. Never thought I'd say that about a Nia match. yeah, it should be the main event, and it's got to be Rhea. I mean, that might be the only thing that might not make it the main event, because it's so obvious that it's going to be Rhea. But, yeah, that's got to be the main event.
I want to say this one thing. The media in Australia has been nothing short of controversial this week. I have seen at least three videos where these so-called professional reporters have kind of cornered or boxed a WWE superstar into a corner with that very disrespectful F word, fake. Now I'm gonna tell you something. You clearly have no idea what you're talking about, and the fact that you are treating these wrestlers who are going across the globe to entertain you and your people, and this is how they are being treated, is nothing short of disrespectful and unprofessional. And I would suggest that you either reevaluate how you conduct yourself in situations like that, or these situations that have been caught on camera are going to get a whole lot worse when the red light goes off, Q. And if you thought the John Stossel thing was bad, I hate, you know, it, like there was a couple of things that came across my radar, and I shook my head. But to the credit of the WWE guys in question, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory are two that come up. And I know there's been other instances. Given the circumstances, brother, I don't know if they could have held that, you know, held their stuff together any better than they did. But my God, there's a level of decency and professionalism, and these so-called journalists, they don't have it.
No. I mean, we're talking about people that want to get noticed.
Right.
People that want to get the clicks, you know, it's all attention grabbing, and I say to them, screw off.
Ooh.
Screw off. Cute. Come on. Screw off. We don't need all that, man. That's
Q just went PG-14, and that don't happen here on this show, so that's when you know. But ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you tuning in here tonight for the Klaus and Q Show. We hope you will join us in 2 weeks' time for Fatal 4-Way. For all the information, head over to our Facebook pages or klaustotheheart.net. With that, go out, be awesome to yourselves and to each other, and we'll see you next time right here on the Klaus and Q Show, exclusively on Orion Neighborhood Television.